The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I am your host, Ramses Ja. And sometimes the amount of stories that make their way to us means that we simply can't cover everything that comes our way. But from time to time, a story just stays with me, and I feel compelled to share it with you and give you my thoughts. And now, one more thing.
At the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that don't sit right in my spirit. Trying to find a little angle and downplay his greatness. I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest that ever took? Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, that was the lamest movie. And it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God aligned me back up on my purpose and on my path. You know what I mean? I pray that Kendrick really didn't feel no way. But if he did, my chin out. Take your best shot. Take that chin, boy. Do what you do. And it's love. You know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive the misstep. And then I can get back to my true path. Because I ain't gonna lie to y'all. The past 2 days felt terrible. And let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. Because I want to do that for.
So that is the voice of J. Cole. And if you are a fan of hip hop music, you might be familiar with the back and forth that has taken place, I guess, starting with a song called First Person Shooter with J. Cole collaborating with Drake, shouting out Kendrick Lamar, who wasn't on the song. And Kendrick had a response track on a recent Future record, and Kendrick dissed Drake and J. Cole. And this is kind of right up our alley. Today I'm joined by Q Board, the one person who is more qualified to have this conversation with me than anyone else, because this is what we do.
What up, though?
And we're going to talk about beef in hip hop. And J. Cole's apology to Kendrick Lamar, which you heard. Now, for those that don't know, again, Kendrick made the song with Future dissing Drake and J. Cole. And then J. Cole made a response to that song. And he was basically calling into question Kendrick's catalog and, you know, all, just bickering. There was no real substance to this beef. It was just some bickering. I suspect, I'll say this up front, I suspect it might be staged because there's really nothing there. But beef in hip hop, we often have to deal with that. And, you know, once upon a time when LL Cool J and Cannabis were going back and forth, I thought it was so cool that, you know, these people could be so creative in making fun of each other. And then I realized what the implications were. And, you know, I think someone said it recently, but, you know, for every one rapper, that is successful, there are 16 families, black families that depend on that rapper's success. And I think even before we get to that point, before we talk about economics, I, more than ever in this part of my life, am a fan of Black unity. If we have issues with other Black people, we like to handle them gracefully if the cameras are on. And if the cameras are not and we're behind the scenes, then we handle them with words, not with violence, not with any of the more low vibrational responses. And the reason we wanted to make this show today is because I felt like J. Cole's apology for making a diss track that was appropriate given, you know, the sequence of events. J. Cole's apology saying, you know what, I'm past that part of my life. I love him. Y'all love him. Ain't no reason for me to make fun of him. If he had to diss me because he needed to get that off, cool. If he needs to diss me again because I made this response, I got my chin out. But the truth is, that's not who I am right now. I apologize, Kendrick. Him saying that was so big and so far beyond a low vibrational point. So far, just a basic blood sport point in his career that it deserves to be saluted. And the fact is, there are a lot of people out there who are saying, you know, he punked out. I hope Drake doesn't apologize. This is what hip hop is all about. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's a battle. It's a blood sport. Everybody wants to be number one. Go for it. And I think that that J. Cole is showing us that there's a different way to be successful, to walk in your own truth, and to do so without destroying everything in your path, with indeed building and showing people how to build. And Q to that responded, well, this conversation needs a little bit of nuance. So we thought, why not turn on the cameras and have an old school conversation like we used to do on Radio Solstice, on Rhyme and Reason, on any of our old shows, our own radio shows that we used to do together. So so that's obviously me rolling us into the conversation. Go ahead, Q.
I just think I don't think there's a black and white right or wrong in how to respond in instances like this, because to ignore battle rap's place in hip hop would be disingenuous from two hip hop DJs.
Sure. Like absolutely.
It'd be kind of whack.
Yeah. You're right.
Right. The entire history of this sport of hip hop has been the battle component. It kind of started there where the MCs would highlight the DJs, and the battle was more about how much more dope my DJ is than yours. And then it transitioned into the MCs having those battles themselves. I think we got to see so many different variations of this, and where J. Cole should be celebrated is making sure this doesn't veer into something where I'm giving people the impression that I don't love and respect that king over there. I think that's what he's trying to avoid. And I think what some of the pushback against that is those that I think understand that Kendrick respects and loves J. Cole too. Most of the diss was about Drake, if you break down the lyrics, and like that, the Metro Boomin' and Future track that Kendrick kind of jumped off the porch on. But even then, they're not personal attacks in the diss track. You know, there's subliminals and innuendos and entendres based on titles of songs and albums, and kind of just saying, yo, I'm the best, come at me. And this is not the first time Kendrick has done this. You know, the last time he did this might have been 10 years ago, but he called out everybody. Like every active rapper got their name.
Yeah, everybody on the same song with him.
And no one responded, ironically. So I think it was kind of just Kendrick doing that Kendrick thing again, reasserting himself as the greatest. There were no personal disses at Drake or J. Cole. And even most of the musical references and disses were more aimed toward Drake than Cole. The only thing that he said in response to J. Cole is on First Person Shooter, J. Cole references them as the Big Three. And Kendrick responds is, no, it's just Big Me, which is hard. You know, so I think it was the reason why people are so disappointed, to be frank with you, Rams, is because J. Cole might be the only rapper capable of this generation of sparring with Kendrick. Mm-hmm. So that's what people wanted. And the response was mid. Like, you know, if they were tweeting, the response would have been great. If Kendrick tweeted his stuff and then J. Cole tweeted back, those tweets against each other may have been cool. But the songs, the song wasn't really awesome.
Yeah.
And J. Cole is so talented. People got excited, like, oh, man, finally, we're about to get this generation's whoever versus whoever. But we know there is a very, very dark side to hip hop beef. And because we've seen the worst version of it play out, I think that's where my brother Ramses comes from with, yo, Cole's approach on this is a far better approach than how we've seen some of these things go. Right. So if I have to pick between what J. Cole just did and what, say, Pac did on Hit Him Up, I'm gonna pick what Cole did 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Yeah, there's no two ways.
So that's where I think my brother's coming from on, you know, let's veer towards the higher vibration. Let's lift each other up. Let's unite. But I think what fans understood, and I think what Kendrick, and I don't know this, I don't know Kendrick, I don't know Cole, but I think Kendrick's position was, let's just spar because we both dope. I'm gonna say I'm the dopest. Now it's your turn to say you the dopest. Not I hate you. Not I don't like you. Because again, none of the lyrics were disrespectful at the people. Just very, very clever and masterful wordplay with regards to the music and things that they've said on track before. So,
you know, what's funny is that we are flirting with the idea of getting back into doing a bona fide radio show that obviously is going to have a social justice component into it because that's what we do now. But we're really thinking about it. We got the name. We got the logo, we got the artwork and everything like that. And there's some people talking to us about it and I could hear it now. I'm glad we waited to have this conversation until the mics were on. Right. But yeah, I appreciate you providing the context for hip hop battles and their place in the culture. It is more of a sport. I mean, two country artists don't go back and forth saying they're the best. Two, you know, what are pick two artists? They don't go back and forth saying I'm the best. At least not in a way to where fans are engaged, trying to
not artistically.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, just, Prince and Michael had their thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's
song about it.
But it wasn't like there was groups of fans in the same way. There certainly were groups of fans saying this person's the best. That person.
Oh yeah, still to this day.
But it's not in the same way. The vested interest was not in the same way by the fans. And it wasn't like there's points earned or deducted for attacks on the other one.
And like, ironically, is kind of Drake and Kendrick both referenced Prince and MJ in their battles.
Oh, yeah, that's the idea, right? They did. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I appreciate you bringing that up because I think that that's important context to have. One of the things that I think has happened since, you know, I fell in love with hip hop and grew up and was raised by hip hop. I'm born in 1982 and I'm from Compton, California. So I have a strong predisposition, to supporting Kendrick Lamar, right? I just, you know, you root for the home team. What are you going to do, right? But make no mistake, I'm a huge fan of Drake. I'm a huge fan of J. Cole, right? And the truth is, both of them probably got more spins in my real life. But if you ask me, in front of an audience with a microphone, Kendrick, don't even question it, right?
Listen, so, Rams don't do it for the gram. He do it for Compton.
Yeah, listen, talk to him, Q.
That's important.
Let him know
that's
about
important
me.
To point
Let
out.
Him know about me, Q. So, since I, you know, was able to fall in love with hip hop, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, all through the 90s, all through the 2000s and the 2010s up until today. Indeed, hip hop paid all of my bills, everything that I own. I raised two children off of hip hop. I was able to share hip hop with audiences around the world. You also were able to share hip hop with audiences around the world. That is a magnificent thing to be able to have this fantastic culture that we own, that is ours. We were born into it. Feed us and pay us to do something that we love, right? So indeed, we love this culture, right? But I feel personally that I've seen hip hop battles and hip hop beefs, sort of the lines sort of get blurred. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of, you know, the NBA Young Boys and you think of the Chief Keefs and you think of the, you know, the 6ix9ines and you think of the, I don't even know why I said his name, but you get what I'm trying to say, right? But you know, you think of the Dirks and the, you know, King Von. You know, I was such a big fan of King Von, and that was rap beef that took his life in Houston, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, that list goes all the way back. You mentioned Tupac and Biggie, right? if those two people weren't battling on records, it wouldn't have become hip hop beef. And then we would still have two now elder statesmen in you know, the hip hop arena. And so I feel like maybe there's an argument to be made that hip hop could survive without the battle element. You know, you don't necessarily need the battle element in order to be a true hip hop artist. In the same way, you don't need to freestyle. Once upon a time, I felt, because I come from an underground tradition. Of course, my brother is in Dilated Peoples. For those that are familiar, that is Boom Bap, Backpacker, you know, two MCs and a DJ all day long. And we pass the mic around back and forth and we create a cipher and we just rap. Put on a beat, I'll make up the rhyme right now. Okay. And that was part and parcel to what hip hop was. You could ask KRS-One that. You know, Q-Tip said it on one of his songs. Freestyling is a true MC trait. And for those that can do it, people look at them as great. I believe that's kind of what he communicated in the bar in his song. And hip hop has done fine without freestyles. Not make it up.
I mean, they still happen.
They still have freestyles, but a lot of times nowadays they're written. They're written. They prepare it. They go into, you know, Sway, or they go into wherever they go, you know, Bootleg Kev, the Leakers. Yeah. And then they recite something that they had written prior to that moment, exclusively for that moment. Right. And so the term freestyle has kind of evolved. Mm-hmm. But once upon a time, you could put on a beat and say, make a song about this person in front of you. Go.
That happens sometimes.
Sometimes, but it's very rare, right?
Thing when we were younger.
So because what I say that to say that because there's so many rappers out now that don't do that whatsoever. That's not a thing that they do. Once upon a time, that was part and parcel to an MC. Because remember, MCs, you got to make it up on the fly, right? An MC being talented and worthy of, you know, being a rapper. So just like hip hop has continued without that characteristic, that skill, I do believe that it could survive without the battle element, because the battle element, as we've seen so many times, has kind of devolved and become destructive. And what it does is it influences, because these people are at the top of the culture, it influences the rest of the culture below it. And what you see is the machismo and the aggressive sort of nature of the kind of back and forth battles filter its way throughout the rest of the culture. And when you see someone like J. Cole, as you mentioned, who is more than qualified to take on a Kendrick Lamar, more than qualified to do it, I will say, see that entirely up front. Then apologizing and saying, you know what? For what, man? I'm walking a path here. Who wins from this? If you need this, dog, take it. Here's my chin, yeah, right here. Take it, right? That also trickles down, and it shows the rest of us that there are alternative ways of dealing with conflicts or getting where you want to be. Go ahead.
I'm glad that someone of J. Cole's stature did it, because far more people will respect it than think it's corny, because J. Cole is just not corny. So if that's your position, then you're the one that's whack. Like,
so, and this is why we're talking about it, because I don't want to say his name, but a very prominent DJ with prominent platform was very upset that J. Cole apologized.
I get why, though. And this is why I want to point this out, because like I said, there's two sides of this coin and neither is really wrong. Attacking J. Cole personally would be whack, but being upset that he responded that way isn't.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why. Just as we've seen the demise of some greats based on that, we saw Meek Mill and Drake go at each other's heads and then join forces and give us a smash. Mm-hmm. Like, so we've seen that it can just be on wax rap beef, and then two kings can get on stage, surprisingly, because people didn't know this was going to happen, and blow an arena's head off.
That's fair.
Because, man, we didn't see that coming, man. We, Rambis and Q was almost beefing, but then Civic Cypher went live at Madison Square Garden, and we lost our mind. Like, people would be very excited about that. But, excuse me. It's important to point out, because it's Kendrick specifically, the Control verse that kind of shook hip hop up. Kendrick says some things in that verse that make it very clear. Not only do I respect, but I love the people whose names I'm saying. Now that I got that out the way, and then he goes off, right? So it's, for this specific one, why people are so disappointed. It was because finally, because Drake, they think, is the top dog based on Drake's success.
Yeah, sales. And
but when it comes to who's the best, it's Cole and Kendrick. That's how everyone feels unequivocally. Mm-hmm. So people were excited for the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight. They were excited for the Lennox Lewis Mike Tyson fight. They were excited for that match between two titans that's going to give us what we need. They didn't have any expectation that it would divulge negatively beyond that, because both people have said out loud, and this Kendrick during a diss verse not only says, I'm usually homeboys with these names, but I got love for y'all. Just right now in this moment, I'm Kendrick and y'all can't see me. I think that's dope. So I think the disappointment was Kendrick let off and everybody was like, finally, Cole about to get him. They didn't even expect Drake to respond. Yeah. And I heard this same prominent DJ that you're talking about say, I ain't even checking for Drake. I'm waiting for Jermaine because I know Jermaine got
it. He's going to do it. Yeah.
Jermaine got it. And then he did it and there was some disappointment in that. But I think the disappointment in that is shown in his apology. It was half-hearted and I don't want to do this anyway.
I'm not even mad at him.
Yeah, I don't want to do this anyway. So I tried to come up with something to say and put it out because that's kind of what the culture was begging me for, but I wasn't in it. So I can respect both positions. Like, sure. I understand the disappointment in those people who are like, man, we thought we was about to get Michael and LeBron in a real match, not just hypothetical.
Yeah.
We thought we was about to get the Kobe LeBron NBA finals. That never happened.
Yeah.
We thought we was about to get it, and man, we're not going to get it. Darn it. So it's them being selfish. I don't even think it's, you're not dissing Cole, because I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about J. Cole, just negative because of what he did.
Yeah.
So like I said, if your position is that he's corny for doing this, then you're whack, because what he says is authentic and it's real, and that's his spirit, and he deserves our reverence and our respect for the position that he took. But I'm not going to pretend that I don't understand why so many people are sad, right? They're not expressing it as sad, but they're sad. They had an expectation that they're about to get something great, and dang, man, we ain't going to get it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for people to know that I am, Q knows this, because Q knows me better than everybody put together in the world. I'm not really the biggest fan of violence. I'm not the biggest fan of like boxing, and I'm not a fan of MMA fights and all that stuff. It just doesn't do anything for me. It makes me sad.
Well, I meant more competition.
I'm talking about a different thing. Don't worry. But you know this about me. It just kind of bums me out. Like, why are they fighting? You know, it just doesn't, it makes my spirit unhappy. Now, I know I sound soft. I promise, do not run up on me. I am not the one, nor am I the two. Do not run up on me. But when I'm vibrating at my normal frequency, I just don't enjoy conflict. I enjoy laughing, peace, tranquility, the laughter of my sons, you know, these sorts of things. This is the life that I want to live. I don't enjoy pain, suffering, brutality, violence. It just doesn't do it for me. So you need to know this about me, and hopefully that will help frame my position a little bit better. And if you're not one of those people like me, then maybe you do like the back and forth that comes from the battles. I once upon a time liked them too, but it also came with a degree of like, oh, I'm a little bit sad. I was really a big fan of cannabis when LL Cool J dissed him. This is just kind of the one that is in my brain, right? I was such a big fan of this guy. He was such a dope rapper, right? And then LL Cool J came out with a song called The Ripper Strikes Back. And the beat was so big and LL Cool J's vocals were so big. And he was like, ask Cannabis, he ain't understanding this because 99% of his fans don't exist. You know, it's like, it's like just dropping these bars. And I was like, oh, it's crazy, right? But there was a part of me that kind of mourned, that felt kind of sad for Cannabis. And that part never goes away in any battle. Jay-Z and Nas, you know, we mentioned some of the other names, some of the more recent battles back and forth. And I think that to your point, Q, this one was shaping up to be one of those epic, once in a decade type battles. But I think that hip hop can mature it has matured beyond a lot of different things, and it can mature beyond maybe not battling so much, but beef. And if Cole sees it going in a certain way, because there's something to be said about, you know, beef between this rapper and that rapper, or battling between this rapper and that rapper, translates to beef on the ground level of people who support this rapper and support that mm-hmm. rapper. That's certainly true and has been true on the West Coast for some time, because there's a lot of gangs over there, right? And so the implications of these back and forths, we talked about, you know, one rapper that filters into 16 families, and those families look to those individuals, the friends and associates of those families look to the individuals that are connected to the rapper. You know what I mean? And so you have these, like, you're talking hundreds of people with a vested interest in the success of this one rapper, right? They have a fiscal interest in that. And beef and battling is, no matter what, destructive. It can ultimately become constructive. You mentioned J. Cole and Meek Mill on the stage together.
Right.
Drake and you're right. Drake and Meek Mill, sorry, on the stage together with it was after Back to Back. What was the name of the song?
Going Bad.
Going Bad. Yeah, that was their song.
We also got Jay-Z and Nas.
Yep. Yeah,
not just that. On the same stage, but on the same studio. And yeah, for a brief moment, I think kind of on the same label.
Yeah, yeah. So these things can happen. But the way I figure is that you don't necessarily need to travel through the bad parts to get to the good parts, because when it's bad, it can be really bad and really permanent. And when it's good, it's definitely good, but it doesn't bring people back to life. It doesn't always revive careers. And I think that, you know, for what J. Cole did, him saying as much as he can see from where he sits, and I think, you know, kudos to him for being true to himself. Like, this just doesn't feel right to me. Look, you and I know this, Q. You and I know this. You and I famously had to go on the news time and again and talk about a rapper. And at no point did we ever disrespect that man. We said wrong is wrong and right is right. And this is right. And this is what we're going to do. And we're going to stand on this principle. You can Google the story if you don't know it. But And I saw you do this on CNN live. I saw you do it with these eyes. I sat next to you and I watched you do it. And you spoke firmly. You spoke as a man, as a protector. And at no point did you disrespect the individual that we were talking about. You gave him everything that he needed and you gave him a way back home. At some point, he's going to find his way. But for now, we cannot let him harm us anymore, right? And I think that that's kind of that's something that is noteworthy. That's something that is special. And I think that not devolving into the beef, the back and forth, us being black men attacking a black man in front of the whole country. You know, there's something that they used to talk about. Let's call it 93. I remember it in Living Color. In Living Color was a skit show back in the day for folks that don't remember or are not old enough. It was before Chappelle's Show and before, that's like even old.
The origins of sketch comedy on TV.
Yeah, it was, think Saturday Night Live. That's probably a better way to explain it. But there was a skit and it was about black unity. And it was kind of suggesting that there was no such thing as black unity. And it was a funny skit, but it stayed with me. I'm glad I saw it. And whenever I would see beef between LL Cool J and Cannabis, or between Jay-Z and Nas, or, you know, Meek Mill and Drake,
Tupac and B.I.G.
Tupac and Biggie and on, right? I would always wonder, is this an opportunity for black unity that has been squandered? Right? And black unity is something that, as we've been taught growing up, instills fear into the powers that be, the puppet masters that control these facets of our life that we are trying to change, that we push back against. And so I know that people who play basketball are competitive with each other, and they don't have to beef, right? And they can compete where they compete, right? the scoreboard, right? If the rappers like J. Cole says, look, I'm in a game, everybody wants to be number one, we'll compete on the scoreboard. Who has the most sales, right? And that's that. But I'm not going to disrespect this black man who is a king, who is someone that everyone looks up to, you know, on and on. If that's what he says, I say it has a soft place to land over here.
Yeah, I just think it's important to say that you can do both. You can compete without disrespecting, because again, Kendrick doesn't say anything disrespectful about either person in the song. It's more innuendo and subliminal and entendre with regard to song titles and things said in music. Never this guy is this and this guy is that, or anything disparaging personally about the other guy. I think that's important to point out, because I don't think we should just make it one or the other when that's not truly what it is.
Sure, sure.
It's already shown that you can do one without doing the other.
Well, you say this innuendo. Smell like innuendo. All right, that's it for us.
We knew that that was coming.
All right, we're showing our age right now. This is the time when we turn it over to you. We really wanted to have this conversation for your benefit, but we also want to hear from you. So do us a favor, reach out to us using the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app, or you can hit me on social media. I am at Ramses Ja.
I am Q Ward.
And let's keep the conversation going. Does beef still have a place in hip hop? What do you think? And until we talk,
peace.
This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show is produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. Join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.